Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, I think we're going to talk about how to talk to sellers about creative financing, right, Jeff?
We're going to try to figure out how to ask a seller if they would be open to terms.
Okay, great. And so, just to open on that, I would say anyone out there talking to sellers should have some kind of script, either in front of them or inside their head, because every professional salesperson out there has a script. They don't sound scripted, but they have a script, and the questions kind of flow into each other. But it's the importance is to qualify your prospect, and we should be doing the same thing when we talk to sellers. We should be qualifying them for if they're open to terms, or if they're just open to cash. And we got to determine their motivation for selling, right?
That's right. I think one of the things that we will do, and maybe a little bit this episode, but going forward, another episode, we'll talk about how to pre-screen a seller, more of the script where all the different information that you're trying to gather, because when you're looking at terms, you need some financial information to really help you structure the terms.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Okay. So when it comes to asking a seller if they're open to financing, I know that you don't say, hey, would you consider seller financing or owner financing? I know you don't even use those terms. So how do you go about that, Jeff?
So I think that there's a number of ways that you can do it. And I like two in particular. But yes, you're right. I don't want to. It's like being a wholesaler. You don't go and tell the seller, hey, I'm a wholesaler. You might say, hey, I've worked with a large network of investors, and if it doesn't fit my needs, it'll fit one of theirs, I'm quite sure. I'm basically saying the same thing, but there's sometimes negative connotations with some of the terminology that as investors we use regularly, but to non-investors, it's kind of intimidating.
Yeah. So, and there could be some negative connotations associated with some of those terms, like flippers, for example.
Exactly.
There is a negative connotation attached to that because people think you're just trying to steal their house and you're going to make so much money on it, and they don't understand rehab costs and holding costs and all that. So I get it. That's a great comparison between wholesaling and talking to them in a different manner.
Right. So I don't like to use owner financing, seller financing. That's not terminology I use. It's just like I don't like to use the word contract. It's an agreement.
Right.
So one of the things that I like to do is I don't mind using the word terms.
Okay.
Or our phrase that we use is, would you consider taking payments for your equity?
Right.
So most people would say, well, what does that mean? Well, we'll cover that. So we'll try to cover a few different, maybe the very general objections, and then we'll deal more with objections when we do pre-screening a seller.
Okay.
But let's talk about what I like. And keep in mind, there are 1,000 different ways that you can approach a seller in terms of figuring out if they're open to some kind of creative financing. But I like two, and we use one, and it's kind of based on how you're setting up your business. So let's talk about the way we don't use first, and then we'll talk about the way that we use.
Okay.
So the first way would be is that you just go in and you make your cash offer. The seller comes back and says, no, that doesn't fit my needs. Now, here's the key part. You have to be able to follow up with the seller. If the goal is you just make the cash offer and then, you know, you never hear from them again, this doesn't work.
Right.
So you always have to be able to follow up, whether it's in person, whether it's on the phone, email, whatever it may be.
Right. Absolutely.
So the thing that you want to do then is like, and again, it'll depend on your approach. You can kind of take more of like, well, yeah, that's what I was able to offer. I doubt that you'd be interested in maybe some of the other things that I could come up with. I probably could offer you more, but you probably wouldn't be interested, right? And try to get them to kind of come to you a little bit.
Yeah.
Or you just go directly and say, I understand that the cash offer doesn't work. If I could get you more money, but you didn't get all of it all at once, would that be of interest to you? Or something like, there's another way that I could pay you more money if you're open to it, and then just go right into the explanation. And
okay,
keep in mind that owner financing or creative finance could include any number of different options. You may only have one other option. Or you, on a free and clear house, you may have five other options.
Right.
You don't want to get too crazy because it'll just confuse the seller. And typically, if you come up with too many options, they start trying to take one part of one option and combine it with another option and try to put together their best their option. Yes. So you want to be careful about that. But this would be the process of you just make the cash offer, and if it gets rejected, now you turn to creative financing.
Very good. So do you have more luck with using what they call the takeaway strategies when you say, well, there is a way we can get you more money, but you probably wouldn't be open to that. So you're taking that away from them. And so they're like, wait, what is that? Are you more effective with that? Or, you know, we could get you more money and just being more direct about it. What do you think?
So I've done both for sure. And the way that our business is structured right now, it's not me that's doing it. Right. However, I am a fan and a student of John Martinez. And John Martinez would teach you go negative. And so when things aren't going along the same path that you need it to be going, you go negative. Now, maybe not smack you upside the head negative, but you start going a little bit negative.
You do the takeaway.
That's right.
And it's a psychology thing because it's just a scarcity mentality. So if you're taking something away, there, you know, if that's not on the table, then they want it, right?
That's right.
Because everyone wants what they can't have or don't have. Or
well, and I think and here's the way that I look at it too, is that you're dealing, hopefully you're dealing with a lot of prospects. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. You're dealing with a lot of suspects. You're trying to get to prospects and then potentially leads and deals.
Right.
So it's almost like a way of weeding people out. So when you push them away, if they come back, they have an interest that you want to explore at that point.
Absolutely.
If you push them away and they go away, they're basically saving you the time that you're going to put in and maybe chase something that's just not going to happen.
Very good point. Very good point.
So I do like that. And I like this way of dealing with when you're creating owner financing, creating creative financing techniques. I like using it this way because if you're a wholesaler, you're already doing what you would normally do, which is make your cash offer. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have that rapport built, whether it's in person, on the phone, email, whatever it may be, and you're good at following up and now can present something based on they didn't take your cash offer, now you can move them into owner financing. I like that strategy. Yeah, it's actually very easy.
Because you can say, well, you know, we might be able to get you more money, you know, if we get a little creative here or, you know, whatever.
Right. And it might even be to the effect like, I was really hoping that I could have gotten you enough money. And I've been racking my brains and I came up with something, but I just don't know if it's going to work for you. And you know, I certainly don't want to insult you anymore. It would get you more money, but I'm just not sure it's going to work. For and you. All of a sudden it's like, well, what do you have in mind?
Yeah. You pique their curiosity.
Yeah. So it's kind of a way of selling without actually selling them on it. And I prefer not trying to sell our service, our deal. I'd rather get the seller to literally sell themselves.
Yeah. To convince themselves.
Correct.
And they have to in order to do a deal.
Right. But I like that process better than going in and saying, well, please, come on. Yeah, here, I'll give you more money. And this is why you should do business with me, because I'm great. And I've been in business this long. And I really need to go to Disneyland. So I could really use this deal. So rather than trying to sell them on you and your process, I like the idea of trying to have the seller start selling themselves.
Yeah. And sellers, they can smell that from a mile away. They can smell your... You know, if you're itching for a deal, they can tell just in your mannerisms and the way you present yourself, right?
That certainly, if there's some desperation, and desperation in my mind is defined like, let me just keep going, and try to figure out what something will work, which on the surface sounds like a great idea, and it's something that we try to do as well, but we just try to do it in a little different way where we're not trying to chase them. We want them kind of chasing us a little bit.
So you kind of pull them into you by doing the takeaway. Like, this probably wouldn't work for you. Well, what is it? What is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the second way that I like, and this is what we do use right now, and it's very simple, that... So when we're talking to a seller for the very first time, whether they called us, whether we're outbound calling them, one of the questions that we will ask, and it will determine that there's only two things that really determine whether it becomes a lead for us. One is that they're willing to take a discount from the retail portion. And when I say a discount, not, hey, I have a $400,000 home, I'll take $395. I'm talking that they're looking at taking a significant discount for cash. Or we ask them, are they open to considering taking payments for their equity?
Yeah.
And if the answer is anything but absolutely not, it is a lead for us.
Right. Because they're saying, well, yeah, maybe.
So one of the things, and let's just talk about the main objection right here, just because I want to be clear about everyone's so afraid that if you throw this out, that what's going to come back from the seller? And so here's the typical response for people that don't quite get it. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I would instruct people to say, and this is literally what we say, is that I'm not sure yet.
Right.
Because we're not.
Yeah.
And if they push you for an answer, the answer would be is, well, have you ever thought about being a landlord where you're getting a monthly payment each month and you're generating that passive income, but you've wondered, do I really want to do that? Because there's a lot of headaches that come along with it. So what if we could get you the best parts of that, the passive income part, but without all the headaches? That's one way that we would describe it.
That sounds pretty good.
One of the things you don't want to do is start throwing out like ideas. Well, we can get you a certain amount of money down, or because if you start putting those expectations in their head, now they're literally impossible to overcome.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're trying to do for sure when we're structuring creative financing is we're trying to work on that down payment. You will never get a no money down payment if you talk to them about how much money you're going to get them up front and then come back with, I'm giving you nothing.
Yeah.
So you want to be as vague and as general as possible, especially right up front, because you haven't run any comps. You may or may not know the area. You don't really know what kind of condition that the property is in. And So you really don't know what the choices may be.
Yeah.
You know, do they have a mortgage? Is it free and clear? Is their interest rate really high? Do they have a balloon payment? All these things are things that you need to gather before you can truly start putting together some ideas for the seller. So when they ask, what does that mean? It means that we're going to put together something where you potentially are going to get some money up front. You're going to get some money every month. And then you're going to get the balance of your equity and or the loan paid off some point in the future. Bam. And you're going to be secured by the property. So vague and general.
Yeah. So that's where I've made the mistakes before because, you know, I've used the term seller financing or owner financing. And I've also went into specifics like, oh, well, we can do a, you know, like a contract for deed where we can give you some money down and then title wouldn't actually transfer. And I get into the specifics. I've made that mistake time and time again. So I'm still learning how to talk to sellers in that way. And I love what you just said that, well, we can get you some money up front. We can, you know, give you some payments over time and then we can pay off the loan balance or, you know, the remaining of your equity in the near future. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's still vague. There's no expectations you're setting in their mind like, well, I can get 10% down or 20% down. So that's awesome. That's great advice.
Well, one of the things I would tell you is that and investors are notorious for this. I did this early on in my real estate career. That I used to try to explain in detail how things would work. So if I was doing a subject to deal, so I'm going to take over, I'm going to take your property subject to, that's what it means. I'm going to take over existing debt. You know, and I'm trying to explain this whole thing. What I'm really doing is confusing them.
Yeah, and a confused mind always says no.
So there's no mention of contract for deed or all-inclusive trust deed and note or subject to. There's no reason to do that, certainly not at this point.
Yeah, and they really don't even need to know those terms. I mean, those are terms that we use because those are the strategies or instruments in which we execute these deals, right?
Yep.
But to them, they don't know what that means. That's just confusing them.
That's right. So what we like to do is once we gather that information, and hopefully now once they've agreed to say, yes, I'd be open to taking payments for my equity, that now getting the loan information becomes much simpler. And so, you know, is the property free and clear? Or do you have a mortgage on it? Approximately how much of that, how much do you still owe on it? Well, why do you need to know that? Well, we just talked about how you may be open to payments for your equity. For us to devise a great plan for you, something that's really going to work, we got to understand what we're working with. So we're going to have to structure around any kind of debt or what your payment is. Otherwise, I'm just throwing out ideas. I don't even know if the payment that I'm going to offer you will even cover the underlying payment.
Right.
So approximately how much money do you owe on that mortgage and you know, what's your monthly payment?
Yeah, and they at that point, they should be really open to it.
Yeah. So if you've done a good job, and first of all, less is more, especially initially.
Yeah.
So when you start talking, and you feel like you're the only one talking, mistake.
Yeah. Okay? You probably blew it at that point.
It's more about questions that you're asking. Yeah. And
to qualify
them. Yeah. And if someone came back and said, oh, I don't know if you know I'd really want to do that, I think my first question would be is, it sounds like you might have a concern. Do you want to discuss something that's concerning you about it? Because at this point, there's no commitment. I want you to be comfortable. I need this to be a win-win for this to work. What's the concern? And maybe we can discuss it.
That is great advice. What is your concern?
It should always come back to another question, somehow, some way. If someone brings up an objection, a concern, anything, instead of you babbling on, blah, 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 this is how good I am, this is what I can do for you, it should be pretty succinct and then to a question.
Yeah, so you acknowledge their objection, you handle their objection, and then you loop a question.
That's right. If you find that you just are the one keep talking, there's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you're trying to sell them on what you're trying to do. Get away from that. Get them to sell themselves.
That's great advice. How long has it taken you to learn this, Jeff?
Well, I learned
to be,
it.
To be proficient at talking to sellers like this.
Yeah, it's practice. It really is practice. And I've learned from some really good mentors. And I, over the years, I've just taken bits and pieces of what I've found to be really good. And I've kind of combined it into something that works for me. And you know, again, there's no absolute right or wrong way to do it. There are some wrong ways to do it, but there's no exact right way to do it. I've just heard a number of different ways and I've taken bits and pieces of it and made it work for me.
Uh-huh. Love it.
And yeah, you know, it's not always easy because sometimes someone asks you a question. It's like, I got to answer this question. I got to answer it to the best of my ability and knowledge. And all of a sudden it's 3, 4, 5 minutes gone by and you're still talking. And it's like, this isn't going the way I want it to.
What's the biggest or hardest objection that you've come across?
The hardest objection.
In your opinion, the one that's the hardest to overcome.
Well, the initial objection is that. What does
that mean?
Payments, yeah. As you go further along, maybe the due on sale clause could become an objection.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a big one.
Sometimes they want, we have one right now where they want to take it to their attorney. They want to have all the paperwork. And we have responses. I mean, there's only so many objections. When you do this for a while, you've heard them almost all. I mean, if I heard something new, it would be quite surprising.
Uh-huh.
So you plan ahead. It's like, okay, here's the 4, 5, 10, 20, whatever it is, main objections. How am I going to answer this if this comes up?
Yeah.
So be prepared.
And one thing I do right now in my business is I'm reaching out and making phone calls to notice of default or, you know, pre-auction properties. And basically just trying to set an appointment up front, just trying to meet with them at their house because I'm not going to close them on the phone. But I've written out some of their objections that they have and sure. I've answered them. And I have this, and right before I start making phone calls, I just go over these objections and how to handle them. So they're written out and that's how I prepare.
Yep.
So that might be a good idea for you guys out there. You know, before you even start, if you want to start using creative financing in your business, we just went over some of the objections, you know, write some responses to these, and then you just have to kind of tweak them as you practice these and you're on the phone with the potential seller. Right.
Yep. And there's plenty of stuff that you can go online, YouTube, about how to pre-screen a seller or seller objections or whatever. And some are great. Some are mediocre. And I would just tell you that keep it fairly short and follow it up with a question. Get the seller speaking more than you. You're also, they're trying to interview you to find out, are you real? Can they trust you?
Right.
You're trying to find out, is this really a prospect for me?
Yeah.
I don't want to waste my time unless I can, you know, put together an offer and potentially get it done.
Right.
So it's an interview process. If you're not asking questions, you're the one being interviewed. You've lost control of this conversation.
Right. Absolutely. One of the biggest objections I've always come up against is sellers keeping, if there's existing debt, keeping the loan in their name. That's usually the biggest objection I've come across because they're just scared of that, right?
So what do you tell them?
So I've struggled with this and I don't have a clear-cut answer for them.
So you say, it's all right.
No, I basically say, well, there are some things you need to be aware of. First of all, if you don't plan on buying a home for the next 3 years or however long this is being structured, it's really not going to be an issue. But if you're trying to get another loan, they could count this against you as, you know, against your debt to income ratio when, you know, you're qualifying for another loan. So you need to be aware of that. And that might not work for you because they might, you know, want to sell it on seller financing and then go get, you know, another loan on another house or a car. It could be whatever. So
all great information. Really good. However, you're talking way too much.
Okay.
So the question would be is, sounds like you have a concern. Should we address it? What's the concern?
Okay.
And now I want to hear from the seller. So you may have just addressed 2, 3, 4 different concerns. May or may not have been the seller's concern.
Very good point.
And now the one concern has become 4, 5. So now you're overcoming a whole bunch more. So let's isolate what the potential concern is and let's deal with that and that only.
See, so I've made the mistake of talking too much and not keeping correct. It brief.
Which is...
And or isolating the concern. That's awesome. I love that.
Jonathan... First of all, what you do is what 95% of all real estate investors do. 95% of all the population do. It's really the small percentage of sales guys that understand that, and it comes with practice and experience, that when you talk too much, you're usually negotiating against yourself. So you're creating more issues than you're fixing. So it's all about asking the questions. So when someone poses a question or an objection to me, the first thing I'm saying to myself is, what's the question I can ask them? I need more clarification. Tell me, that's a really great question, Jonathan. Tell me a little bit more about why that's a concern for you. Or is that something that's going to keep you up at night? I want them talking to me. Let's work through it. Not me, blah, 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 blah.
right.
Okay.
Okay. So when a seller says, well, I don't know if I want the loan in my name, what would you say?
I would say, that's a great question. I'm glad that you brought that up. Is there a particular concern that you may have about having that loan in your name?
Well, I just feel like my credit's on the line.
It kind of is. And if that doesn't work for you, I totally understand. We're going to protect you and you're going to get some money up front. And most of the time, there's never an issue. Is this something that you think would work for you or is it something that we should probably not even worry about anymore?
Just like that.
Just like that.
Love it.
No.
That was awesome.
And that wasn't scripted, by the way.
Right.
I didn't know that you were going to ask me that question.
I love that.
Keep it short, simple, to the point, and ask more questions.
Love it. Great.
So really quick, because I know we're probably running out of time now. And it's so funny because we picked these topics, and I think this is going to last like 15 minutes. And
yeah, and then we're half hour in.
Yeah, so... So let me go back to how we present our offers because it's a little bit different. And if you're newer, this might be better for you because you don't have to explain a whole lot, at least initially. So once we find out that someone is interested or would consider taking payments for their equity, we go and immediately do our due diligence. So we'll run our comps. We've hopefully gathered enough information about their loan payment,
what they owe. The market rents are.
We'll look at the market rate rents. We'll look at, you know, hopefully we got enough info on the condition of the property, what the property would need. And now we're able to put together an LOI, a letter of intent.
Okay.
So that's our way of, hey, showing that we're committed to doing this, not just, hey, let's talk about an offer over the phone. We'll put together, and depending on the situation, anywhere from one offer to as many as 4 offers. And I know there's a lot of people that do 3. And whatever you're most comfortable with and whatever creative financing you want to use, And it could be one owner financing, one lease option, and one cash offer. Uh-huh. It could be any combination thereof. Now, you don't want to make all the offers like so similar that it's like, why would you choose one over the other? What's the benefit? Ours are considerably different. So one might be a short term with a smaller down payment and a smaller interest rate. One might be more of a conventional type thing that you would see that's longer term, maybe a little higher down payment. One might be a seller carryback that we've talked about in a previous episode where they're getting a much larger chunk of cash. One might be, and we don't use a lot of lease options, but on the right price range of house, we will do a lease option offer. And then what we're going to talk about probably next episode is a owner finance short-term kind of offer that's more than our cash offer and would allow us to buy and either rehab or wholetail the property.
Right.
So we like to put together that LOI and then we email it, and or our acquisition manager just calls with that in hand and goes through it on the phone with them and then emails it. So one or the other. But I want them to have something in front of them that they can physically see that work's been done, that yeah. offers have been generated. And then our acquisition guy will go through it in detail and answer whatever questions that may come up.
Awesome. So you're not just giving them a cash offer and then saying, well, that didn't work. Maybe we could do something else, but I'm not sure if you're open to that.
We like to present them all at once.
Nice.
So, and we make it clear that that's what we're going to do when we're pre-screening them. So if they said they weren't open to terms, we would basically say, so you're looking for just one option and that one option is cash. And you know, if you don't get cash, then
you're not open to anything else.
Correct. Okay. So we want to, when in our opinion, when you have that captive audience at that point, that's your best opportunity to put something in front of them and get something done quickly.
Yeah. One thing you've always told me is when a seller has multiple choices, they feel like they need to pick one, right?
Yeah, well, that's the goal is that, so at the very least, I'm hoping that they come back and they say, well, I don't love option one, but option two could, you know, if we could do this or that, it's going to give us some direction that maybe we can continue the negotiations. Sometimes they just pick one. Yeah, I'll just take option one. It's like, great, no problem.
That was easy.
It also makes it so that your cash offer, which is a lot of times insulting, that they're not really irritated with you because there's such a huge gap between maybe your owner financing offer and your cash offer.
Yeah, so, great point right there. Yeah,
so I think when people start getting insulted by you, you know, they turn off. They don't.
They're no longer.
They're thinking that you're trying to take advantage of them,
and they're no longer as receptive to whatever other options you might have.
That's right. So that's why we like to do it. There's no right or wrong in this case. It's what your preference is. It probably is a little more work for us, but what our goal is that, and we're working really diligently on this, is that a lead comes in. It's a potential prospect that we want to get our due diligence done and have them an LOI potentially that same day, no later than 24 hours.
Yeah, that's quick. That's speed right there.
Yeah.
So
the competition is fairly fierce right now.
Yeah.
So we don't want choices to be made because we were too slow.
Yeah. They say time kills all deals.
That's right.
Time kills all deals because they're going to keep shopping.
Yes.
Because someone out there has a solution for them.
Or if they're ready to make a choice, the person that gives them the choice first or within that time frame typically wins.
Absolutely. Great point. Well, thanks, Jeff. I'm going to re-listen to this episode because these are some things I need to work on, you know, presenting creative financing to sellers, seeing if they're open to it. And then, you know, when they asked, what does that mean? Just being general and vague with it. I don't know yet. But, you know, potentially we can give you some cash up front, some payments over time, and the remaining of your equity or your loan paid off in the near future. I love that. So thanks. Any last words?
Don't be overwhelmed. If you're newer, or this is newer to you, it takes practice. And there's a lot of resources out there, both free and stuff that you can pay for. So there's no excuse not to become comfortable with talking to sellers and being able to deal with this kind of stuff. And you know, we mentioned John Martinez and you know, someone else that does like lease options, Joe McCall. He has his own kind of way of doing things. It's kind of interesting. And we could go on and on. But the resources are out there. But ultimately, it's practice.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Hey, if you want to call in with a question or a comment, we have a hotline that we set up. That phone number is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. We're looking forward to people calling in and, you know, asking us questions. I would like some questions I can present to Jeff on what you guys out there are struggling with when it comes to creative financing. You know, whether, and that can be, you know, a broad range of things. How do I structure this deal specifically? Or, you know, how to present creative financing to a seller. You know, if you're struggling with that, whatever you're struggling with, we want to hear from you guys. So please call that number, leave us a voicemail, and we would love to just pick Jeff's brain on whatever you guys are struggling with.
And I'd love that too. That way I don't have to keep figuring out topics that we can talk about and we can address some.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. Usually if it's an issue for one person, it's an issue for many.
Right. And you guys can find us on the web at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. And until next time, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.